I want to know what I am. I'm independent. Yeah. I've just got one wife. If I ever get rid of her, I'll just be me and God. Amen. Then it'll be up to God if he wants to get rid of me. Amen. Yes, sir. Well, the message the Lord's laid on the hearts in Isaiah, the 4th chapter. I stole this one. So if you done heard it, you'll just get a double blessing. Tell you the truth, I stole every one of them I've ever preached. Amen. I got two or three from Leroy. Yeah. One or two from Dr. Ruttman. And I get them along like that. They're pretty good. When the Lord first called me to preach, I thought you preached the message and throw it in the trash can, you know. I just barely make notes. And shoot, I wouldn't take $1 million for my messages now. And I found out, brother, them high-priced messages. Yeah. Some of them fellas has got them in books and selling them. I don't know when the Lord will lead me to start selling mine, but I'll guarantee you, if anybody wants to buy one, I'll tell you, I got some good ones. Every one of them's good. I've never heard a bad message of the Lord's. Amen? Never have. All right, Isaiah the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. I like to kind of get my bearings, you know. How is this thing strong enough? Somebody said, well, if you was in the spirit, you wouldn't have to worry about it. Yeah, but I may not be in the spirit when I hit it. Amen? Yeah, it pays to be saved. Ask God, if I make a fool of myself, amen, I want to be doing it for Jesus' sake, anyhow, amen. All right, Isaiah the 4th chapter and the 1st verse, and in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man. I believe we're living in that day now, amen. Saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Let us pray. Our Father, we ask you now, Lord, as we bow before you, we're a needy person. Father, our strength is gone. Lord, you said if you be lifted up, you draw all men unto you. So our Father, we don't have enough strength to lift up ourselves. So our Father, we ask you to anoint us with the Holy Spirit. Fill us up real good, Lord. Fill us out for the glory of God. And let each of us be blessed in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we'll thank you for whatever you do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. I want to preach the message on wearing his name, but staying the same. Amen. Wearing his name, but staying the same. Now, you know, we're living in a day today when people are wearing all sorts of things. Now, this thing of wearing is for identification. And I thought about the thing, there's people today that wear a thing. And those that wear a frown let you know they're unhappy. Amen. You don't have to get an encyclopedia to look up what the frown means. It just means they're unhappy and grouchy and full of the devil. Amen. And I've got a bunch of them in my church. And then we've got those that are wearing a smile. And that tells me right away that they're happy. Amen. Then we've got those that are wearing clothes. And some of them wear clothes to cover up things. And then some wear clothes to let you know what group they're identified with. Amen. Yeah. Then we got some that don't wear enough clothes. Yeah. We got more of that going on today than we've ever had before. Then we've got those that wear makeup. Amen. They're not satisfied with the way God's made them, so they're going to make it up themselves. Amen. Now, I tell you, it's a shame and a disgrace unto God the way women will paint up themselves. And I agree with Oliver Green. You can take an old boy and put one coat of paint on it, and it looks better without any paint on it at all. But, brother, we've got women today that will paint themselves up so ungodly, you can't tell what they're trying to identify themselves as. Amen? Now, I've seen some in ballrooms when I was lost going to hell, and I knew what they were, and I see some of them today in churches, and I hadn't changed my mind one bit. They're the same thing, amen, just sitting in a different place. Amen? Listen, there's people they want to wear it, but they're not wanting to change. They want to stay the same. Now, I also got to think about they're wearing long hair. And that's to show rebellion. Amen. I was running these little freaks, and I preached in the street corners all over the eastern part of the nation. Somebody said, where's that South Carolina, North Carolina? Amen. Now I preached up in Hendersonville, North Carolina, down in Georgia, and all them places. And I run into them out there, you know, and they'll say, well, didn't Jesus have long hair? I say, well, I don't know. I've never saw it. But I said, I believe he didn't have long hair. I believe that he wouldn't contradict his own self. I believe that Jesus Christ had short, black, bushy locks, as the Song of Solomon said. And they said, well, I got a picture of him at home. I said, uh-uh, friend, you got a picture of your Jesus. The one that's going to bring peace to the world. That's the picture you've got, and that's the picture a lot of people have got hanging in their homes, is a picture of the Antichrist. Brother, that thing is just a picture, a
And God said he wanted a woman here to belong because of the angel. Now I'm telling you something. God wants your hair to be long enough, honey, to cover up your ears.
I'm still in the spirit. I can prove it, but I'm saying. Women today are wearing their hair long, rolled up, put it on top of their head. And you can't tell them from an angel. Huh?
But God says, let the woman get her hair down and let her wear it long and let the man wear his short and then we'll be able to identify. And when a woman wears her hair right, she is showing that she is under subjection to her Lord, her husband. Brother, we got to, I believe the devil invented beauty salon. I call them saloons. Now, who can tell me, bless God, the Holy Spirit leads you to go get painted up like a war horse for Sunday morning, Sunday school? Huh? But you ought to see the way they get in there and get all dolled up and fixed up, and it costs the husband $18.50. And about the first time, they shake their head at the young and say, sit down, shut up, it's all down in their eyes. God wants it down, and God wants the man's up, but we got a reverse today. Little boys running around with long hair, acting like girls, smelling like girls, talking like girls. I ran away. I said, I ain't going to make fun of you, bless God. I'm about to die wet. Wouldn't you hate to think that the Russians was coming with all their artillery and all their arms? We had a little bunch of them pussy footers lined up with them ones to fight them. They ain't got enough guts to clean the dirt off them on their fingernails. Hey, men got to go get a manicure. Now, not only is this thing a wax, but you know there's those that wear wigs. Now, God said you women can't change your hair white or black. In other words, if God made you a redhead, honey, then be a redhead and wear the hair God gave you. I've never saw a bald-headed woman. Now, you old hypocrite, you're not wearing a wig. Listen, God said he's changed. Now, only time that you're supposed to be changed is when God changes you. And if God lets you come into this world red-headed and ugly, for the glory of God, be red-headed and ugly like me. Yeah. Like me. Boy, I left to preach when I got liberty, don't you, son? First time I ever preached, I preached to a parking meter. Didn't have a bit of trouble out of that thing. But I got to preaching so hard, about that time the time run out. I said, glory, that thing's getting happy. Amen. Didn't have no faith out of it. But today, in the average, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-practicing, Bible-caring, Bible-talking, Bible-giving-out church, they'll get mad if you preach the Word of God to them. I'm talking about independent, fundamental church. I preached in a church just the other day. I ain't going to tell you where it's at because I don't want to tear down my brother in the Lord. But I got up there and I preached on this old junk of women going around wearing their old rotten breeches and women wearing their short dresses and women acting like the devil, and brother, it made them mad. You don't believe I preach like this in my church? Come see me. I don't get too many revival meetings preaching like this either. But I'll tell you one thing, bless God, I don't compromise. I was mean as hell before God saved me, and I'm going to stay mean as hell while I'm saved. Three no Johns to me, Lotus and Honey. Lotus made me as the devil, and Honey made me sweet as God. Amen. A lot of this is not eating the right diet. They think a Christian's supposed to be meek and lowly, bow down every time they can have. One big deacon get up and holler at something, they'd get off in the car. I got a man at our church right now. He's found out he don't run me. Leroy knows it. He met him. I'm not bragging in the flesh. God sent me there to be the pastor, and I'm going to pastor blessed God, or they're going to get another. He better surrender and let them ordain him. Amen. Now he's doing better. You know why he's doing better? Because bless God, I stood up to him the night we run old Leroy off after 4 days. Amen. Everybody told me, why, how did y'all cut Brother Leroy off? Well, if you don't have any Bible, what's the sense of wasting his time, our time? Everybody thinks you got to go a week, you know. And the very night Leroy was sitting there as a witness to tell you, that fella crawled on me back in the room. Big rascal. Don't be mean. Started pushing me like that. I said, you take your hands off of me, son. I ain't no little pussy foot kid. I'm a man, and I'll smack you back. I'll tell you, we need more men like that in churches today. Brother, the women don't speak in my church, and that fits my wife Esther. The Bible said, tell them to shut their mouth and keep it shut, and you won't have as much trouble in churches today. Amen. They want to find that thing, tell them to ask their old man when they get home. Somebody say, oh, you hate them. No, I don't hate them. It's time we get back to the Bible. And I'll guarantee you, every nation that's ever failed left the Bible first. America's done gone. You just might as well quit praying for America. You better pray for the rapture. There ain't no way God's done bringing judgment on America, and his judgment's increasing. I don't pray for revival. I pray for me to get revived. I pray for me to get on fire for God, but America's not going to have revival. And George Wallace can't bring it sucking on a cigar. Even God doesn't allow him to get in. You say, well, I love George Wallace. I love the Lord. Amen. And the Lord don't live in Montgomery, Alabama, honey. Brother, we're lifting up too many idols today. People really show what they are, not what they were. Amen. Now I noticed something else, and I was about to get ahead of myself. I hate to do that. Women today are wearing miniskirts. Professing Christian women. Do you know the Bible set the standard for a woman's dress? In Isaiah the 47th chapter, God said, I don't want to look at your thigh. And honey, your thigh starts right above your knee. And if you got on something, look down at it. Bless God, I can look at it. You ought to look at it. It'll embarrass the devil looking at some of these professing Christian women run around. You can't bend over, honey. I'll guarantee you. I challenge any woman where I'm going to bend over like that. Can't do it. Brother, they ought to get them down there because you're causing somebody to go to hell with your sorry dress. I've got them in my church right now. They say, well, I just can't see it, preacher, about wearing pants. I said, you don't want to see it. Deuteronomy's still in the book. Well, now, that's your interpretation. I said, no, honey, that's mine and God's interpretation. And he's right, and I'm with him. They said, well, I'll stop if I get convicted. There's no conviction except for salvation. The rest of it is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then you'll get all these things you need. But if you don't obey me, you ain't going to get a blooming thing except an early grave. We got that stinking rotten teaching today. Well, if the Lord convicts you, now you come down. It's the invitation. But God, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, you don't have to wait to be convicted. Do it. God said, I'll tell you what, I'll promise you this. If you'll judge yourself, you'll not have to be judged to me. But if I got a judge, I'll tear your rotten hide out. Now I tell you, we got them sitting in our church that's lost, going to bust hell wide open. You don't be saved 3 and 4 years and sit there and just be open today in God's word. I preach messages. This is the third time I've come unto you. And if I come again, I will not spare. God said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Yeah. Prove your own self. Just sit down inside a corner and pull that blooming miniskirt. That thing is hatched out of hell. And when you wear them, dear ladies, above your knee, and I can see any part of your thigh, you're going along with a woman that instigated the thing and said, I'm open for sex in the daytime. I don't care if you teach Sunday school. I'll tell you one thing, they don't teach Sunday school in the church I pass in one.
Go ahead.
They don't want to teach Sunday school at Calvary Faith and wear her breeches. They don't want to teach church at Sunday school at our church and dip her snuff. Brothers, we've got standards set up in a constitution and bylaws, and those constitution bylaws are backed up with the Word of God, and the Word of God sets the standards, and they obey or they get out. The teaching ministry is my ministry. You show me in the New Testament where God called teachers. He called pastors and teachers. Some of them pastors and teachers. That's what it says. They said, I've been calling the Lord to be the minister of education. Belong. I've been called the Lord to be the minister of music. Belong. I've been called the Lord to teach. No, the preacher should appoint every teacher in the church. And if they don't do it right, bless God, fire them and hire another. I'm the one to answer God for the teaching ministry. It's my ministry. The apostle Apostle Paul was not only an evangelist, an apostle, but he was a missionary and a pastor and a teacher.
A lot of them think today you got to have a special calling, you know. Some say I'm called to be a missionary. Others say I'm called to be an evangelist. Others say I'm called... Listen, I'm doing the work of all of you. You got your hands full if you try to do that. Amen. I'm that like a missionary and go out and try to spread the gospel. I'm that like an evangelist and try to get my church fired up. And I'm that like a pastor and go and soothe those little bitty lambs that's got hurt. Amen. But we don't have too much of it today. We got one to get tired over here, and he's called into this field. Doesn't get tired over here, he's calling that field. What is it? It's what they're wearing. It's what they're wearing. Now you look. Not only are these women wearing the miniskirts, but then we got them that wears long dresses to let the men know they're not ready. And I tell you, I appreciate a godly woman that'll wear her clothes right. But you know something? We got something else attached out of hell with the devil. This old Maxie junk.
They wear the thing in the choir and dress like the devil Monday through Saturday. But they'll come to church with a Maxie on just so they can get up and sing a special song. Now, I done get so hard to me now. I tell my wife coming down here, I don't believe I'll make it a year. I'll be there a year, the 29th of October. Now, I'll just tell you too, the way I'm feeling now, I'm looking any day to get going. I never pastored on a street corner over maybe two services. I got run out of Fortburg, South Carolina, Greenwood, South Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, Clayton, Georgia. No, Clayton, Georgia was open to the gospel. That's the Philadelphia area. They'd carry us down to jail, and they'd be taken in a booth. Now, we're going to lock y'all up. You don't play a little bless God. Do what you want to do. Lock us up. I know the feller got the key. Amen. A lot of them today is scared to do something because they're afraid they'll get in trouble. Listen, honey, I was in trouble when I was born the first time. I got in trouble when I was born the second time. And I'm going to stay in trouble if God gets everything straightened out. Listen, you're in trouble whether you know it or not. You might as well figure out which one you're going to be in trouble with. I'd rather be in the trouble with the devil than be in trouble with God. Amen. The devil's got more power than I have, but he hasn't got as much power as God. So God can whoop the devil. All right, now listen to something else they're wearing. There's people today that wear our names to identify themselves. My name's Marty Fuse. I'm the son of Henry Wesley Fuse. And Danny Bale Fuse. Mm-hmm. You know what that identifies me? As long as I'm living on the face of this earth, I'll always be known as their boy. And after I'm dead and gone, after they're dead and gone. Anybody looks back in our family tree? Well, we got a lot of possums in that tree, and I hope they don't look too close. I was checking out found a tree, and I found out we got one that hung in the tree. I said, I knew there's some kin to me. They'd have hung me if they'd have caught up with me in time. I don't say it badly, but I've been in and out of everything you get in and out of. Penitentiary, jail, chain gang. I've gotten so much trouble one time, got on the chain gang, they put a tail chain on me. And a ball. You know what that is? And I tried to walk around with that tail chain on a ball, and they had me out there trying to dig ditches, and I couldn't do a thing with that. Because they're just doing it to scare. And I say they didn't have to do that. I scared of plenty in them. Well, they doesn't. I was identified with that crowd. I want to tell you something else. The name Jesus Christ is to let people know that I'm a Christian or a disciple. Or a false. That's the only way the power of the name of Jesus is to let somebody know that you're Christ-like. That you're saved. That you're born again. That you're washed in the blood. That you're following Jesus. And I can picture Jesus sitting on a camel field wearing a mini skirt with a long hat. People that do that, honey, are not identifying themselves with Jesus. They're identifying themselves with this world system. See, the Bible's too plain. It said if you love the world and the things of the world, then the love of the Father's not in you. I don't have to judge them. The Bible's judged them already. Oh, yeah. A person that's wearing the name of Jesus or act like Jesus acts. You say, now, you're going to get on perfection. I'm going to get so close to it, you'll think that's it. The Bible said that I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And it also said, let this mind be in you that was in him. And it also said that he thought not himself to be equal, robbers to be equal to God. Right? Now, if all them things attest to Jesus, and I'm in him and he's in God, then I'm saved. Amen. Now I'm supposed to carry testimony for Jesus. Because I wear in his name. I am Jesus Christ manifested right now in the earth. You say, now preacher, where you get that? The Bible says in old days he spoke for the prophet. But today he has spoken by his son Jesus. And you say, preacher, where you get it? Your Jesus. He's in his name. Amen. Jesus Christ, listen to me. I'm Jesus to the world right now. I'm only Jesus the world's going to ever see. And I'm wearing his name. And you're wearing his name. And every professing Christian is wearing the name of Jesus. And you're either going to bring glory and honor in his name, or you're going to bring condemnation in his name. Because you're Jesus. You mark her down. Maybe it's time somebody told you that. And all of you looking bug eyed. Well, that's because like you don't even know what I'm talking about. The Bible said, I become a new creature in Christ. All things. That's everything up to salvation. Was passed away, and everything after salvation become new. But I still see them doing things they did when they was old. You say, preacher, you believe a fella can still smoke and be a Christian? I tell you one thing. He gets to heaven, he'll have to go to hell with the smoke. You know, we've let up today on holiness, and I believe in holiness is more than the holiness class does. Because the Bible said without it, no man will see the Lord. I believe in separation more than that holiness class does. The only thing I'm joined up with is Jesus. I ain't a member of the Mooses, Deuces, Ganders, Elk, Belts, and all that other crap. I ain't got time for that sorry low down mess. But I am identified with the body of the Lord Jesus Christ by wearing his name. You can't wear two names. Now, hold on a minute. I don't want y'all to get ahead of me. I need to get ahead of y'all. See, I'm going to get my new name a little later. They know me by my earthly name, but I'm professing the name of Jesus. One day God's going to make them look at my new name to let them know that I was right. You're going to have a new name you're going to have to look at, too. All right, they're wearing his name, but they're saying the same. And what you talking about, preacher? Luke 6:46, and why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? He said it to them. Why are you calling me your Lord, and you do not the two simple commandments that I have instructed the New Testament for you to do, and that's to love the Lord God first and your neighbor as yourself? You can't get them to do them two things. Now he said, why are you calling me Lord, you hypocrite? You liar. Now he said in 1 John, the 2nd chapter and the 4th verse, if you don't keep them two commandments, you're a liar. You ain't saved. You're just a bald-faced liar. Time somebody told you. I get accused of trying to make people mad. Well, I tell you what, you make them mad and they'll think a lot faster. Amen. Trouble of death, people don't want to make nobody mad. I get on the radio and try my best just to preach a plain little simple message. And the first Baptist pastor, Harrisonburg, Louisiana, called me up. Well, no, he didn't call me another. He sent me a letter wanting me to put a word of apology to the Southern Baptist Convention on the radio for something I said. Well, that's the best apology I ever give next Sunday morning. Brother, I got more facts than I had then. I tied him in a knot in the whole convention. You wouldn't think a little old country preacher could do that. Well, I did it. I bet you had every one of his church members listening to my apology. Amen. Listen, I don't know why it happened like that. God could be using all that to get one person in his church to come out of that stinking rotten mess. Now, I'm going to prove you something before this thing goes. You got any little ones in there, 10 people? Listen, I think it's as rotten as a Roman Catholic church. I think more so. They had the truth. Roman Catholic church never has had the truth. Convention's worse off than that. Amen. Now you stay with me. Boy, it's getting good. I know, let's look at this thing of wearing his name but saying the same. You know, the Jesus movement's wearing his name. Did you see the this week's Life magazine? On the cover of Life magazine, they were stacked up like pyramids. Long hair, had on no one-way signs and this and that. They call it one way, and I'll guarantee you out there there's a Roman Catholic, there's Protestants, there's Jews, there's cults, there's everything calling one way. They can't agree on nothing. And you look at some of the ungodly pictures in there. Old Johnny Cash, the first race.
And he'll mean that's just...
I don't know if Jesus is 6'5" or not. And then old Chris Christopherson, or Chris Christopherson, or whatever that long-haired hippie is, and said they had 9 hours of gospel rock. Yeah. Listen, when Elvis Presley sang it, it was the devil's music. Yeah. When Conway Twitty sang it, it's the devil's music. And when the Beatles started singing it, it's the devil's music. And when Johnny Cash and Chris Christopherson started singing it, it's still the devil's music. The devil's music. And Billy Graham, that long-haired forerunner of the Antichrist, stood up there. You say, I don't like that. Well, Abe, I don't care whether you like it or not. I believe that he, just as John the Baptist was a forerunner for Jesus, I believe he is one of the forerunners of the Antichrist. I come down here to try to win somebody to Jesus, and you go get you a corner. The little bald-headed thing runs, too. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. You know what's wrong today? We invite him in instead of resisting him. If I 54 mile exchange tracks with you, I'll come down here to try to win somebody to Jesus, and you go get your coat.
The little bald-headed thing runs, too.
Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know what's wrong today? We inviting him in instead of resisting him. Now I guarantee you start resisting the devil, he don't want to hang around you. And I'm doing a little study on demonism.
Well, I ever Christian or till you got one. You ought to know something about the one that lives with you.
You say, well, I'm saved, sanctified. Say, well, no, I don't have any good life. Got a thorn in the flesh. Read it over. A messenger of Satan. What's that, a demon? Now I found out this, that you can get some demons out of him, and they'll get into the walls of your own home, and you never get them cleaned out of your house. And they get right back in a little later. Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. You get way far-fetched. Brother, the demons and the powers of hell are so strong today, they want you to wear the name of Jesus. Yes, sir. They want you to wear the name, but they want you to stay the same. And they've been assigned to you, and they'll track you down all the time you're on the face of this earth. And you can pray and plead the blood and get rid of one, and wonder why you got trouble the next day.
Yeah.
There's more than one of them. Bless God, there's one waiting right there to jump on you. You go down, we got them hanging from the chandeliers in the trailer. They drop on my neck and ride my shoulders all the way down to the kitchen. Knock one off, get in the refrigerator and get me some coat to go back. Another's done swung down and grabbed hold. You say, we ain't got it like it in our house. Well, amen. You ain't doing nothing for God either. Remember the first Baptist church green was back when I told me, he said, I woke up to the women. I thought he was the spirit of God, you know. I just got to church and I thought everybody said it. I mean, everybody, you know. I didn't know nothing. Pastor told me, he said, go home and start reading Matthew. I read the whole thing. Come back, he said, you're reading this, Jordan. He said, what'd you get out of this, nothing? He said, read it over. I read it over. Didn't get nothing out of it again. Amen. But when you start studying it, you'll get something out of it.
Amen.
A lot of people read it like they read a funny book.
Yeah.
Amen. Now I went up to him and I said, God, I said, does the devil ever bother you?
He didn't bother me in 6 years.
And there I was having all my trouble, you know, trying to witness the Roman Catholic on the back porch. And boy, I was ready for him. You know, I was going to tackle him good. I went up to him and I said, let the Lord tell you about what the Lord's done for me. He said, how you know? I'll be back. Brother, I went and found out from my pastor how I knew it. And I come back and told him about it then. You know what happens to a lot of young Christians? They run out without any shield, without any sword, without any preparation. And they get knocked flat of their face. Amen. About 2 minutes after they say, I done got back to the Lord. Amen. It's the truth. Listen, the devil wants you to wear his name, but he wants you to stay the same. Now let's look at another. There's the Church of Christ. Camelite. Amen. Baptized into heaven. Yeah. I never forget, I was in the hospital, I was having one of them Tylenol fits. That's what they call that thing. I called it out. Amen. Now I was in the hospital, and there was a Church of Christ fellow right across from me. And you know, they wine bibbers and all that junk, you know. I call them a bunch of drunks. And he got to arguing back and forth to me, and the Lord gave me one verse of scripture for him. See, he's wearing the name, saying the same. I said, fella, explain something to me. Over in Acts, the 10th chapter, it said that after Peter had led him to the Lord, he wanted the Jews to be witnesses of what had happened. He said, now, if they go, anybody object, if we baptize them, seeing as they've received the Holy Ghost. See, and now they think you've got to be baptized and then get the Holy Spirit. So that just tore him all to pieces. And I got ready to leave the hospital. He said, well, you know, preacher said, you may be wrong. I said, let me tell you something, fella. You are wrong. Never seen him no more. But you know, I hope the Lord took that this little bit and he got saved from it.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. You don't never know what you're doing for Christ till you do something.
Right.
If you don't never do nothing, you'll never do nothing for Christ.
Right.
I've had testimonies come back to me 6 months later, 7 months later, 3 months later, where I had a partner's salvation. I got a check at home. I'll share this with you. For $5, got it in the mail yesterday before we left. And the lady in there, she said, this is from my other sister and brother. She said, since my father's passed away, we found out that you had a great part in his salvation. And we wanted you to have this little love offer. It pays to be saved. It pays to serve. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, sir. I'd have them come up to me on the streets. I'd be back down preaching. Tell me about getting saved 6 months later. I'll guarantee you. There's a difference in wearing the name and changing. But this crowd here is wearing the name, staying the same. And then you go on there, is that Jesus only church? You know, they're just Jesus only. We don't believe in the Trinity. They deny the Trinity. They don't want nothing to do with the Trinity. Don't you to notice something? In 2 Timothy, the Bible tells us, in the 2nd chapter, in the 4th verse, no man that was entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Notice the 5th verse. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. I've heard people say, preacher, you ought to truly in your heart believe Billy Graham's lost and going to hell. I said, I'll tell you one thing. If he is by chance saved, he will never have a crown. Because the book says you got to do it God's way. You don't do it according to the Decision magazine. You don't do it according to the Seventh-day Adventist. You don't do it according to dust and dust. The Bible said if you don't do it according to the Bible, you don't get a crown for doing it. There's a lot of them today doing it in the name of Jesus. But they're not doing it according to the way Jesus told them to do it. Look at the 6th verse. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. You ever seen somebody try to plant fruit trees, didn't know nothing about planting fruit trees? You ever seen somebody try to reap from a garden, didn't know nothing about it? They'll pull every stem off, they'll do everything. I don't know how many green apples I've pulled in my lifetime. You get them in baptized and they rot on you. You say, oh! Well, I said, who let them in? Amen. The Lord puts them in there, he'll take care of them. We put them in there, he'll let us take care of them. They'll take care of you, one. Amen. All right, now let's look on. I was reading there in the Philadelphia church where the Lord told us about some people that had been true to his name. In other words, they've changed. Now you notice in the Bible, Revelation 3:8, it says, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. The Philadelphia church is going on through the Laodicean church right on into the rapture. We make up the Philadelphia church right now. You say, now wait a minute, but listen, under the Laodicean church age, there's nothing but lukewarmness. No Christians in the Laodicean church. The only Christians are those that got into the Philadelphia church and went right on through the Laodicean age. And Jesus commended them, and he said, for thou hast a little strength left in this time of apostasy. When he said in Matthew, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many of the Philadelphia church age people is going to grow cold. He said, you still got a little strength. You know, there's one thing about a Christian, he will not deny the name of Jesus. It's a bunch of church professors. I'd be glad. I tell you, glory to God, I can't wait till the persecution starts. You'll find out then who you got and who you ain't. Of course, we got one lady, she's being terribly persecuted out of church. Her alarm clock don't go off on Sunday morning. She can't get there all the time. She's been persecuted for the devil because the clock don't work. Amen. Oh, boy, we got some. It's under terrible persecution there. There's one broke her thumbnail off trying to get her first track out of the track rack so she hadn't got any more. Yeah. Suffering persecution. Terrible persecution there in that church. One man, he's been terribly persecuted. He burned his finger, let the cigarette stick his lip and slid off, you know, and burnt inside his finger. Persecution! Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Another one, he's just getting persecuted off. He went to spit some of his red man and it went right down his white shirt and ruined his tie. Being persecuted for the cause of Christ. It's what we got in most churches today. Amen.
Yeah,
that's the truth. Word and name, but they stayed the same. Hadn't changed. Listen, I'm not a judge. I just read the book. Bless God, if I see anybody that's not going by, then I just say, well, amen. They didn't change. Isn't that what the book says? You'll know them by their fruits. Now, if they made a change, if they're not a new creature in Christ, old things passed away, everything become new, you just mark it down. They still lost, going to hell, got a counterfeit. I'm looking any day for one or two of my church to come down and want to get saved. Listen, the Lord, you don't never get a church. You never pastor a church with everybody in it saved. Don't think you have. In this church here hasn't got everybody in it saved. I'll tell you one church that's got everybody in it saved. Amen. That's in the fourth chapter of Revelation. Amen. What happens? We get too complacent as preachers and we'll ease up, you know. I got all my flock saved, man. We just about reached our peak. 34 in Sunday school. We're on the downgrade now. Get rid of some of them devils in their church, start growing.
Yeah.
Amen. I put me on the altar first at Calvin Faith. I said, Lord, clean me up. Straighten me up. If there be anything in me, get it out of me. So I can be the servant you need. And then, Father, if there's anybody else, I'll put them on the altar before you. See, I'm the one that takes care of the altar in that church. We got them that they'll confess over the telephone. They'll confess to brothers and sisters. But you can't get them down the altar and make a confession. And tell everybody but the one you need to. Now, I preached tonight, Wednesday night, on this thing of lies. 1 John 2:22. And the Lord told me, said, they steal some lies. They didn't come down to invitation. You think the Lord's going to tell me to preach on liars and they know liars there? Somebody lied. Maybe me. Amen. Somebody's a liar. Now he said, behold, I will make them. I'm glad it's God doing it, ain't me. You know that he said, I'll do it. I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and not. See, a lot of people, they carry the name, but they're not what they say they are. Amen. And so he said, I'll make them which say they're Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Jesus Christ is going to let it be known to the world that we're his little kids.
Amen.
He's going to let the world know that he loves us. The only thing he wants us to do is stand in the gap and make up the hedge for him.
Amen.
Hold up a conviction. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Stand for it. Look at the 10th verse. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. But yet today we got a word and a name, and they stay the same. There was a name, but it's never been written on. And listen, you can say you're a child of the King. You can say you're saved. You can say you're a Christian. But until God Almighty writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're still going to hell. I don't care what you are, what you say you are. There's going to be a difference when you're saved. There's going to be a difference.
was raised in a dead, ungodly United Methodist church. I can talk about saying, hey, man, I was one of them. The only joy I got was ringing the church bell, picking you chewing them out from the pew. I was using through the damn thing.
Now, I'll guarantee you, about the most exciting thing ever happens whenever they spill some crackers in the wine.
The most thing that I got enjoying out of in the service was when they had communion. I'd sneak around after it's over and drink the rest of the juice. They wanted to eat the crackers. You say, preacher, you that dumb? I sure was. I tell you, I'm glad I was dumb enough to get saved. We got today, they want to wear the name, but they won't stay the same. So, yeah. I enjoy that great juice.
What did it matter? He only got some great juice to me. I was lost going to hell.
It's great juice to them, too. They're lost going to hell.
My mother and dad is still in it. My brother's passed in it. He's lost going to hell. And Leroy, the Lord answered prayer on something I tell you about. My brother was going to come down and visit my parents. He's a United Methodist preacher. Denies the Bible. Doesn't believe it's a literal heaven. No literal hell. So now somebody said, well, what do you do? I pray for him. I don't waste my time with him talking no more. I pray for him. And if he'd have come, he backed down. If he'd have come, I'd have sit him on the front row and I said, church, here's that mother of mine. I told you they was lost going to hell. He's a Methodist. Let's pray for him. Gotta get a hold of his heart while I preach to him. I just preached one time. Of course, I preached and my daddy takes it and carried it home to let him listen at it, you know. I don't know what happened. Maybe God will use it and they'll get saved. And I'm burdening my heart. I'm not making fun of my family. I love them. But I want to tell you something. When God saved me, I had to separate from my family. And you will too.
You don't run to family reunion and pull your Pepsi out of the same keg that's got a beer in there. You don't stand around listening to their filthy, ungodly jokes and make fun of you. First, just I stand up and tell them go to hell and get saved.
That's what we need to tell them. Somebody said, that's the way they sound, too. Natural man cannot understand the things of God. They're foolishness unto him. This is a bunch of hogwash. My brother made the dean's list at Walford College. Straight A's, 4 years. He went to Emory University, one of the most ungodly cemeteries there is. And made good grades there, but he's flunked out of heaven. What's going to profit a man if he makes straight A's and goes to hell? Yeah. Amen? I couldn't even make an F. That's how dumb I was. Tried to pay a teacher to give me an F. That's because I wanted to make something better. Now, I'll tell you one thing. When I graduated, the night that I got my diploma, I just finished up making up 56 days. I prayed hooky to go see. Had to make up 6 days work. I wrote on the board and by the principal's office many times the most unforgettable character I ever met. I read his digest and I can quote the thing. Tell you the truth, Mama brought my supper over to the school. Never did I get out at 3 o'clock. It's usually 6:30 or 7:30. Come back on Saturday and do makeup work. You think I didn't have a shout and spell when I got out of school? Amen. I knew the Lord was in that thing. Had to be and got me through it. But now today the Bible said they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're wearing his name, but because they don't know the truth, they're staying the same, see. Now I want you to notice something here that's going to be good. It ought to bless you. Matthew 7:22. You say it ought to bless you. Yeah, it ought to bless you. Bless God knowing you're not tied up in it. And if you are, you ain't going to get blessed when I read it. Matthew 7:22. Lord, now, there's many of them going to say this. The word many in there is a whole lot. Because it said few of them there be that go to heaven. I'm glad I'm already few. Amen. I believe there's an association with names. I went down to Morgan City to preach, and I was trying to find out where God wanted me to go pastor. And I got down and I had that song, Caleb's song, in there. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach tonight? I thought I had the messages. I always preach 2 or 3. Instead, I said, one of them may not work. Preach 2 or 3, you know. Don't let them know you're doing it. I done preached y'all 2 and on the 3rd. Amen. And I had that song in there called Caleb's Song. Bill Harvey wrote it. And the Lord said, I want you to sing that song and preach John 14:2. Spoke to me that day. Sweet as ever spoke to him before. Wasn't audible, boy. Spoke to my heart.
And I got up there and I said, I'm going to sing Caleb's song. And everybody just giggled and carried on, you know. They all just got fanatic. And I said, what in the world? Maybe they can't understand my perfect English, you know. And I said it again, them French people. I said, is he going to sing, you know, Caleb's song? You know, I tried to get down there where they could understand it. They just laughed again. So the rest of them, I just went ahead and sung the song. And preached John 14:6, give invitation. Then old long-haired fellow in the back, about 19 years old, come beating it down to the altar, slid in there, crying in a ball and snot running down his nose. Listen, I tell you, these people come down to church. What you going to do? And I won't get saved. I don't think the Lord will save me. Are you saved? You died with him? Glad God saved you? Let's join her in the church. I say, I believe there's going to be some emotion. Yeah. There ain't nobody going to tell me that you see yourself hanging out over hell and you grin about it. God's got to swing you out over hell before he'll ever take you up to heaven. We got too much of that old mandy-sandy junk today. You're going to go to hell. You're not, well, I don't want to go to hell. You don't want to go ahead, just repeat after me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And save me. And save me. For Jesus' sake. You saved? Uh-huh. You said I was. Yeah. Still going to hell. Yeah. I'm still a gimmick preacher. I offer him every Sunday morning Jesus free of charge. Amen. Yeah, I'm just a plain old gimmick. I just give away everything. I give away 66 books. Amen. Give away thousands of verses. Give away Jesus. Just gimmick. Just trying my best to gimmick them in, you know. And I'll guarantee you, I'll get on and give a toothpick pop. We'd have 467 niggers and 3 white kids out there that next Sunday morning. One toothpick pop. Now listen to what he said. That old boy come running down that altar. I didn't know what was going on. He was crying, carrying on everything. And I said, Lord, what in the world happened? Now I'm sticking to this thing of names. Y'all thought I done got chasing rabbit. No, sir. I know the name of the rabbit. Amen. And the fellow got up off the floor crying, brushing tears away. And I said, go on, he said, I'll tell you amen. Well, I get a little emotional, you know. This type, I'm just supposed to. I'm married, too. People ain't emotional, never has got married. Old maid. That. He got up on his hand. I said, fellow, what's your name? He said, Joe Caleb. Somebody said, well, you shout over that? Yes, sir. Well, that's what that make a fella shout. Joe Caleb! Listen, God knew the fella's name was Caleb. I didn't know it. God had this song written by Bill Harvey out there in Houston, Texas. Just to it. Bill Harvey thought he wrote that so he could sing it. God had the end to write it to let me sing it to Joe Caleb. Then you get saved. He got a dose of it too, amen. They said he got his hair cut, took a bath, squirted some right guard on him, looked like a man. Now, concerning this thing of name, don't you listen to what Jesus said about it. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Now, you can prophesy, you can talk about Jesus all day long and go to hell. Now, listen to what else he said. And in thy name cast out devils. You can do that too and go to hell. And in thy name, done many wonderful works. I wonder how many people is working to get to hell. You can do that and go to hell too. And then will I, Jesus, profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me.